I don't want you guys to stand to your feet just yet for the reading of this scripture, but I do want to ask a question this morning, right? I want to ask y'all a question. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? If I asked you just to raise your hands right now, if there's anything in your life right now, is there anything that you're afraid of? Raise your hands if you're afraid of anything. I mean, be real, because God already knows. Raise them high. Don't be trying to, yeah. Okay. Some people didn't raise their hands. You know, I believe we have to talk about that, because, hey, you know, I believe we all scared of something. Is there anyone in here still walking around sleeping with the night light on because you're scared of the dark? You don't have to raise your hand. Don't self-identify. Okay? All right? Or maybe you like me. You know, I grew up in Chicago by way of Mississippi to the old Magnolia. I love all my Magnolia brothers and sisters. But I grew up in Chicago, right? And when I grew up in Chicago, they had some rats in Chicago. And I mean, they some Chicago-sized rats. I mean, I'm talking about some big rats. I was always afraid of them. Like my mom and dad, they would set these rat traps and stuff like that. And man, I would be in my bed and sometimes I hear that trap go off, pat, you know? And my mom would be like, go in there and get it out. Like, mom, me? I don't want to do it. All right. Or maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you like Pastor Love and half of the folk in the United States. Maybe your thing is you're afraid of snakes, right? You afraid? Anybody in here afraid of snakes? Man, all right. Pastor Love, you're in good company. All right. Okay. All right. Maybe I didn't get on your street. Maybe I'm not on you right now. Wait a minute. I got it. I know what y'all afraid of. Y'all afraid of how long is this sermon going to last today? Right? That's what y'all like, man, how long is this brother going to be? Right? All right? Well, here's the deal. If I see a rat or if I see a snake, y'all can trust and believe this sermon is over. We out of here in Jesus' name. Right? It's over. It's over. It's over. All right. With that being said, we're going to talk today, if the Lord says the same, about fear, about being afraid, because God has taken the time out to talk to us about this thing of fear. You know, the Bible has over 365 places in the Bible where God tells us in some way, shape, or form, don't be afraid, to fear not. Over 365 times in the Bible. That's enough for one every day. Think about that. Every day God is saying, don't be afraid. Whatever that thing is that's causing you to be afraid, don't be afraid. Over 365 times. Because God knows we're prone to do what? We prone to be afraid. Where all my brothers at in here? I know all y'all brothers, y'all big, y'all strong. Brian, I know you are. You the man, right? You know? But, you know, the truth of the matter is we get afraid, too. Right. I believe that mankind has been being afraid ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden. You remember when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and then all of a sudden they realized they were naked. But then all of a sudden they said they heard God coming in the garden in the cool of the day. Right. And what did they do? Come on, Bible readers. What did they do? They hid. Because they was what? They said, we was afraid, right? That's the first mention in the Bible. So for all of you guys out there taking notes, all right, that's the first place. All right, we're going to walk this thing. So without further ado, we're going to have a quick reading of God's word. We're going to come to you. Today's scripture comes from Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 56. Chapter 56. And the word of God reads as follows, right? I'm going to read this, and it says, I'm reading verses 3 and 4. It says, this is David talking. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I will praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? The truth is, there are many things that can cause us to be fearful, some funny and some not so funny. Man has been afraid, like I said, since the fall that took place in the Garden of Eden. And one thing I know from my personal experience is when you're afraid, if it's not handled the right way, fear can cause you to do some crazy, crazy stuff. Do I got any witnesses in the house today? Anybody willing to tell the truth about themselves today? You ever been afraid that when you become afraid, you don't think right. I'm being real about it. How many people have been to the movies, right? And the killer is right there in that room, or whatever. And the people got a chance to get out or whatever. And yet they run right to, and you're like, no, don't go over there. They're right there. And the people are like scared, but they run right there and get killed. And you're just like, why did you do that? That was dumb. You wouldn't do it. When you're afraid, oftentimes, you're just not thinking right. And God knows that. God knows that. And God says, I've come up with an answer for that. So this story that we're talking about today, we're talking about young David. This story really takes place for all you Bible readers if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 21. That's where the story unfolds, 1 Samuel chapter 21. But I'm just going to go ahead and give you the abbreviated version. Samuel has told David from a young age what? That he's going to become the what? He's going to become the next king of Israel. He knew it as a young boy. The prophet Samuel came and told Jesse, his father, and told David, you're going to be the next king of Israel. So David grows up now. He's tending these sheep, but he grows up knowing, I'm going to be the next dude, right? The prophet came and said it, so it's going to happen. Now time goes on. David goes on and does things like he kills a lion and a bear while he's tending his father's sheep. You know, God is with him. Then one day, you got Israel is on the battlefield against the Philistines. We know about the Philistines. The Philistines are the arch enemy of Israel. They hate each other, right? But the Philistines had this giant. What's his name? Goliath. Come on, speak up. What's his name? Goliath. There we go. So the Philistines has this giant. This guy, he makes even Shaq look small. So he must have been a big dude, right? This big giant, right? And all of Israel is afraid of him. The army is afraid of him. They're so afraid. It's like, man, I'm not going out there to fight this guy. I probably would have been the same way. But anyway, But then here comes young David. His dad sends him to check on his brothers and bring him some supplies. And he hears this giant across the battlefield taunting Israel, taunting him. That means talking stuff. That's modern day vernacular. So he out there, he talking stuff. And they're all afraid of him. And David, all of a sudden, filled with courage, can't believe that this Philistine is out there talking stuff. And he's like, in the name of my God, God, I'll kill him. And he goes out there. We know the story. God gives him the courage and the strength. And he slays Goliath. The Philistine giant falls at the hands of young, small David. So David knows, he's experienced, when God is with you, who can be? If God is with you, who can be? That's real talk. David has experienced this. So now here we are. David is a young captain in Israel's army. He's done things for Saul. Saul has kind of rewarded him. But now all of a sudden the story changes. Saul has become bitter. Man, this dude is like, I'm sick and tired of hearing people sing these songs. You women, I don't want to hear it no more. They saying Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. Saul is getting, that green monster is coming out, and I don't mean the Hulk. Okay. All right. So Saul is heated. And now all of a sudden Saul says, I want David dead. I'm a killer. On sight, I'm a killer. David gets wind of it. What? He gonna kill me? Now, David has been so courageous in so many other instances, but all of a sudden, This is the thing about fear. It can jump up on you at any given moment. In 1 second, you can be the, you're like, man, you so strong, man, you the man, you know, you're courageous. But it can be 5 minutes later, you slap it into B for boogie and I'm out of there. I'm running. So David is on the run. That's where we are. David is on the run. He's running from Saul because Saul is trying to kill him. Now, think about this. If you're going to run from Saul, are you going to run into the land of the Philistines? Would you run to be in the land of your arch enemy that you done already, they know about you, that you done killed lots of folks, lots of they folks. They know that they man that they looked up to, Goliath, you're the one that killed him. Do you think that would be a smart thing to run to the Philistine territory? Man, when you scared, and I ain't talking about a little scared. When you scared and you ain't thinking straight, you can do some dumb stuff. David runs to the Philistines away from Saul, and he goes before the Philistines' king. He's captured and he's taken before the Philistines' king. And so I want to just, you know, make a couple of points today. Point number one, and this isn't, you know, Brother Sport, I'm sorry I should have gave you these points, so forgive me, brother. But for all of you note takers out there, point number one, David's fear. What do you do when you're afraid? I think we can find the answer if we go right there in that same book in Psalms 1 and 2. I'll read it. It says, "Oh God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me." Verse 1, David has come to his senses. He's come to his senses. He's like, he cries out to God. Imagine that. That's an aha moment, right? That's an aha moment. He cries out to God. He says, "Oh God, have mercy on me." I want us to remember that. As the people of God, when we're afraid, the first place we should go with all of our fears, with all of our troubles, whatever it is that's bringing you down, whatever that thing is, the first place you should go is to God. That's the first step. Oftentimes, we kind of, in our humanness, we'll get the order reversed. At this point, David has been trying to do it the way he thought was the right way. David took off and ran. Said when he was running, he wasn't talking to God at that point. He's like, "Hey, I'm in motion. I got to get there." And then, you know, of all the places to go and try to hide out, man, why would you go there? You know, if you was David's partner, wouldn't you be like, "Hey, bro, hey, check this out. You know, I think we probably should go ahead and make a right over here. Let's not go over there." Somebody should have gave David good counsel or something. Somebody should have said, "David, don't go over there." But anyway, David goes, but he finally is at a point, and this is truly, truly an example of God's grace and mercy. David says he's in front of the Philistine king, and the story says David offers his services to the Philistines. Think about this. You've been a dude in Israel. Now you go to your arch enemy and you say, "Hey, y'all got any work for me? You know, the same thing I've been doing for Israel, basically I'll do for y'all. You know, y'all heard, y'all women been singing the songs about, hey, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands." He said, "I'll do the same thing." But then some of the advisors for the Philistine king said, "Isn't this that same David? Isn't he the one that killed a whole lot of our people? Isn't this that same David that killed Goliath?" And they're like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Let's kill him." David now is afraid once again. He was afraid of Saul. And now here he is in front of the Philistines and he's afraid. And what does he do? Pastor Love said he played crazy. He did. That's what he did. He's like, hey, whoa, they trying to kill me too? You talk about, you know, the old saying, hey, man, you're between a rock and a hard place. Saul is bearing down on you over here. And now you got your enemies that are sworn to do anything to you right in front of you. David has it both ways. And now David says, the only thing I can think of to do to get out of this is, they said David starts slobbing and, you know, like y'all know how to, in the Bible days, the men had those long beards and everything. So David got this stuff running all down his beard and everything. They say David started babbling, talking to himself and everything like that. And, you know, then the king says, man, don't I got enough to deal with? You know, you're going to bring me another crazy person in front of me? Like, you know, why would y'all do that? Like, get him out of here. So what I'm saying to you is this. David was afraid on numerous occasions, but he didn't handle it the right way initially. David did what a lot of us do when we're afraid. We try to work it out. We try to figure that thing out using human intellect. No. What we have to do is we need to take everything to God. And here's the deal. Not only do we have to take it to God, God shouldn't be the last stop. God should be the first stop. Can I get an amen to that? God should be the first stop. So whatever that thing is that you're afraid of right now, don't try to figure it out on your own. If you're sick today, if something going on in your body today, and you're like, man, I'm worried. And it's okay to acknowledge that. You're worried about it. That's okay. God already knows the truth. But God says, I know how you feel. But God says, this is a relationship. Come talk to me about it. Come and talk to me. You know, before you talk to your doctor, why don't you talk to the good doctor? Why don't you talk to the doctor that says, I know everything about you. You know, like that car that you're driving right now, you got that book, that owner's manual to it, and it tells you what every button will do and everything. I know some of y'all still ain't figured out some of those buttons yet, but that's all right, you know. But guess who knows everything about you? The person who made you. So don't you think it would be a good place to go to? Is to say, hey, Lord God, help me with me. Lord God, I'm hurting. If it's your emotions, because things that have happened to you in the past, whatever that thing is, if it's your money situation, whatever that thing is, take it to God and let God know that I'm worried about this. I'm afraid about it. And God says, you know what? God says, I have the all-seeing eye. And God says, his eyes hear the cries of his who? Of his people. Are you one of God's people today? If you're born again, blood bought, Holy Ghost filled, then that means you are what? You're one of God's what? You're one of God's people. God says, you're the ones that I want to hear from you because you got the blood of the Lamb that's covering you. I want to hear from you. I already know. But God says, I'm talking to you. Will you talk back to me? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Okay. So here's David. Psalms 27 says it this way. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord. If you want of God's people, you should be trusting in the name of the Lord. David had tried it his way. And how did that work out for him? He's standing in front of the king acting like he's crazy. But David ain't the only one. We put our faith in politicians. We put our faith in police officers. We put our faith in celebrities. We put our faith in military might. We put our faith in our country. And oftentimes we put our faith in ourselves. But the truth is, none of that is a sure thing. Ultimately, we need to put our faith in God and God alone. We need to be confident in his plan for our life that no matter what happens, his hands are guiding every move in our life in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Like David, we need to take it to God. All our fears, our troubles, we need to cast all our cares at his feet because he what? He cares for us. But unlike David, we need to make God, once again, the first stop and not the last stop. So stop going to Uncle Bob. Stop going over there talking to Willamette. Stop going over there talking to Mookie. Stop going over there talking to Oprah. Stop going over there talking to the psychic hotline. Take all of your issues. Take everything that you got going on. Take it all to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's point number one. Y'all, and you know, I want to say this before I move on any further. Did you guys know politicians lie? Did you guys know that police officers, oftentimes the people that they've sworn to serve and protect, those are the ones that they wind up hurting? Did you guys know that celebrities wind up going to rehab? Did you guys know that militaries fall? Did you guys know that countries disband? Did you guys know that even yourself will let yourself down? Did you guys know that today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go to point number two. Point number two. What does David do? Now that we know what it takes, when you're afraid, you take it all to God. Point number two, David's faith. In Psalms 3 and 4, we read, "But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I will praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me?" When you're tempted to be afraid, you fill your mind and your heart with the promises of God's word. When I am afraid, he said, I put my trust in you. This is a declaration. David chooses to trust God. You see, church, it's a choice today. You know, you got a choice in this matter. You know, God says, I'm the one, I'm everything you need. I can do it. I can work it out. But God says, you got to choose me. You got to choose me. You got to choose to surrender. You got to surrender trying to do it your way. You got to surrender all of that other stuff and say, Lord God, no matter what, I choose you. Lord God, I bring it to you. Lord God, you got it. Work it out. Lord God, no matter what happens, I'm trusting you. No matter what the doctors say, I'm trusting you. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. David could have continued to put his faith and his trust in himself or other people, but instead he emphatically declares, when I am afraid, amen, baby, I put my trust in you. Church, what he says is, in God, I choose faith over fear. That's basically what he's saying. In God, I choose faith over fear. How about you today? Can you say like David, in God, I choose faith over fear? Is that you here today? Do you feel that way today? So say it. In God, I choose faith over fear. You didn't say it like you mean it. In God, I choose faith over fear. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when you're afraid, lift your eyes up to God and say it. I trust in you. Because when we have our eyes fixed on other things of what's happening around us in the world, or when we start looking at what man can do to us, there's a reason for fear. But not when we lift our eyes to the Lord, who is our God, whose word I praise. Hallelujah. So, you know, there was something, I guess, that happened about a week ago that's going around about this police officer that was called out to this lady's residence. And the images are out there. It's horrifying. It's horrifying. I don't know how else to put it. You know, you're called out there. You're supposed to serve and protect. The lady winds up getting shot by the police. You know, if I'm not sharp, and I'm just being honest with y'all, God already knows. If I'm not sharp, I start to feel some kind of way. And then, you know, so people oftentimes, I've heard people say to me, you know, like, you know, Mike, if you're not doing nothing wrong, you don't have to get nervous when the police, you know, are riding behind you. You know, if you ain't doing nothing wrong, you ain't got nothing to worry about. I've lived this life long enough to know that when you have this beautiful tan that I have, that's not always the case. You don't have to be doing something wrong in order for something bad to happen. But what I'm here to tell you is, I still, in God, I choose faith over fear. Because if I'm not sharp, if I start dealing with it in myself, then I start to become afraid, and I start to, now anger and different things start to happen, and now all of a sudden different thoughts start going through my mind. But God says, Don't worry about it. I'm the righteous judge. And even when it looks like somebody got away with something down there, the Bible declares that each and every one of us are going to have to pass by the judgment seat of God. And that God's judgments are true, they're righteous, and that nobody, each and every person is going to have to give an account for everything that they did here on this side. So when you seem like you got away with it over here, there's a God who says, I have the all-seeing eye. I sit high and I look low, and I know what you did. Even when it's at the darkest time of night, you can make it midnight. It might as well be like the sun is up at 12 o'clock because God says, I see everything that's going on. Don't you worry about it. It ain't your place to worry about it. I got it. I'm going to handle it in Jesus' name. We give it all to God. But what's the real important thing is we need to know that death is only a step away. Death is only a doorbell ring away. You need to know that you know that you know that you know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, because you could be called home when they ring the bell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where am I at in this message? But then David says something. He says, I praise God for what he has promised. What does he mean about that? I praise God for what he has promised. I'm here to tell you that God has made promises to us in his word. If you're not reading your Bible, number one, you're being disobedient. But number two, you're walking around and you're not filled like you should be filled. The Bible, when you read it, I'm here to tell you, it gives you hope when it seems like there's nothing to hope for. I'm here to tell you that it makes you want to keep running. When you feel yourself getting tired, when you start reading God's promises to you, God said, I'm the head and not the tail. God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God said, hey, I'm a victor. I got victory. God says, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves us. So when I start reading God's word, I start getting a little fired up. I believe that's how David was. David started remembering God's word. He might have remembered something like even Psalms 23, verse 4. Preacher, you know what it is. You preached on it. You know, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Because guess what? Thou art with me. Somebody needs to know that no matter what you're going through today, God is with you. When you know, you know, you know, you know God is your Savior, God is with you. You don't got to be afraid. It don't matter what it looked like. It don't matter what it feel like. All that matters, what did God say? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. God said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to know, when I look up to the hills, where cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And how about this? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Read the word. For thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hallelujah. 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 This word will pick you up when you're down. God's word will pick you up. I'm here to tell you, when friends walk out on you, when loved ones walk out on you, God will never walk out on you. Hallelujah. 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 I feel my helper is in this place. Hallelujah. 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 And lastly, David's finished. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. David has arrived at the heart of the issue. What can mere men do to me? Don't get it twisted. David's not claiming to be Superman. He's not claiming to be indestructible. Rather, he's saying that at the end of the day, the worst thing that the Philistine king could do to him is kill him. And that's only if God permits it. David knows that his fate is in God's hand. And hallelujah, what better place to be for a Christian? Hallelujah. I believe he got some witnesses about this. While imprisoned at Rome and facing death, the Apostle Paul wrote the Philippian church these words. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's Philippians 1:21. What he trying to say is, I know they're talking about killing me. I know they're talking about taking my life. He said, but guess what? It's all right. Part of me, he says, I'm kind of torn. Part of me wants to lead his life. I want to go be with the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to go be with the Lord. But he said, if I stay here, if God keeps me here, it'd be much better for you because I still got work I can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is, it's a win-win for the believer, baby. It's a win-win for the believer, baby. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. As believers, our lives belong to God and our death. Hallelujah. Simply put, we live and we die to glorify God. So don't be afraid of what man can do to you. In God, I choose faith over fear. Hallelujah. The Lord himself said it this way in Matthew 10 and 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. We need to fear God more than anything or anyone else because ultimately the consequences are greater. So we lift our eyes to God. We praise him for his promises and in his word. And in God, I choose faith over fear in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the church say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Faith over fear. What will you choose? Thank you for that word. Amen. And so it's so true that all of us are afraid of something. I know when he said that, a lot of hands didn't raise, and you know, maybe you got that macho in you, whatever. But we're afraid of something, if we were honest. But in our fears, you know what? We can go to God, that we can cry out to God. He talked about that. And when we cry out to God and when we go to God, guess what? God has some promises. And in our fears, we can cling to God's promises. We can choose faith over fear. And then he talked about David's finish. I want you to hear me clearly, that all of us have a finish in this sense, that we're going to leave here one day. That maybe you're young and you're strong and you have him, you have vitality, but you're going to leave here one day, that you have a finish. That all of us have an appointment with death. But the question is, what happens next? Where do you go when you die? Darwin and some of the others may say we just cease to exist and we don't live anymore. But that's not true. That when we leave this place, when we leave this earth, we're going somewhere. All of us, we're going somewhere. Either we will be eternally with God or eternally separated from God. And the Bible calls that place hell. So it's your choice. What do you choose? Do you choose to live eternally with God or separated from God? And here's the good thing. When you know that you have that relationship with God through your son Jesus, you don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear death. We don't know the day or the hour when we're going to leave, but we don't have to be afraid of it because we know when we leave here, we're going to be with him. And so maybe there's someone here today. Listen to me. Listen carefully, but perhaps you're tuned in today. And you heard that word, fear, faith over fear. And maybe you're afraid right now what comes next in your life. What comes next after you die? I want to let you know again today, you don't have to be afraid. It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. And that's what we want to offer you today, is that eternal life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And how do we get that? We admit that we are sinners, that we've missed the mark, that we don't always get it right, that we sin before God. The wages of sin is death. When we sin, we earn death. But there is a gift from God. I didn't say a wage. There is a gift from God, and that gift is eternal life. We admit, we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. We believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and that settles it. That saves us. Does it mean that automatically, listen, everything in our lives look brand new? That, hey, listen, how did that song go? I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. I don't think that's always true. That in this walk, that you don't always get it right. But I can rest in the fact that I don't always get it right, but I have a relationship with Jesus. And as long as I cry out to him, as long as I have faith in him, listen, I know everything will be all right. And so we extend this invitation to you today, to perhaps someone that's tuned in online, perhaps someone that's in the room today. If you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, we invite you to come today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for this word today. That we can choose faith over fear. And today we can choose eternity with you rather than eternity separated from you in hell. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak to the hearts of those who are in the room today that may not be in a saving relationship with Jesus. Speak now to those who are tuned in online. Speak to their hearts, O God. Draw them to you by your Spirit. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you are online today and you're saying, hey, listen, I heard you, preacher, and I want to give my life to Christ. I want to know more about this Jesus. You can do that. We have a new member ministry team that if you're online today and you said, I want to connect with this church, you can do that today. There is a new member form that's online right now. Click on the link, fill out that form, and I promise you on this week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you and we will welcome you with open arms if you're in the house today. And listen, perhaps you're new to this thing. You're saying, I'm believing in this Jesus that you're preaching about and talking about. Perhaps you've been a born-again believer for some time. You've known Jesus for a long time, but you're not connected to a local church. And so we invite you in either category, believing for the first time, been a born-again believer for a while, to come. Our ushers are standing in the aisles right now. Their arms are stretched out. Just follow one of our ushers at this time. They will escort you to room number one. One of our new member ministry advisors will be there. They'll gather some information from you, and we'll welcome you with open arms. Won't you come now? Won't you come now? We don't rush this moment. It all comes to this. Do you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know him as the Savior of your life? Do you know him as the Lord of your life? You can look real good on the inside. And I can't tell. There's two people who really know. That's God, and that's you. And so we can, as we say in the world, we can fake the funk. We can sing and we can shout and we can dance, but do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what really matters. And so it's ours to offer, and our hope is that you would choose Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we hope and pray. And the church said, amen and amen. Come on, give God some praise. Come on. What a mighty God we serve. Amen and amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.